verses 34 through 40. The greatest commandment. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
Be to God. All right. Kids are going with Miss Marcy. Fantastic. All right. Well, let's go ahead. You'll find him. Miss Marcy's still there. let's pray as we come to God's word and commit this time to the Lord. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your mercy, your presence, your word that speaks to us, your love which you've poured into our hearts. And as we study, as we worship, may the words of my heart and the meditations and thoughts of each one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Love God. Love God. Love and God, two words you put side by side. Two very large categories and lots of room for misunderstanding within both of those words, right? Love. Think of all the ways in which we use the word love, right? We say, we confess and profess our love for a spouse in a sacred ceremony when we get married, and we love pepperoni. We love TV shows. We love the Chicago baseball Cubs. I love, yeah. deep affections. And God, when we say God, we may know what we're talking about when we say God, but God, the concept of God, the person of God, means a lot of things to a lot of different people. How many of you have ever had a conversation with somebody about God and you realized that you guys were talking about two different things? Yeah. I had a very interesting conversation at a coffee shop just this week, sitting next to a man who was, he had some plans in front of him. He had, I don't know, some sort of a designer or architect or something, and started, he just talked for about 10 minutes straight. And then he asked me what I did for a living. I told him I'm a pastor. And he shook my hand and he said, you know, you're really good at being a pastor. You just listened to me and my rant for 10 minutes and you didn't say a word to stop me. And I said, hey, goes with the territory. But a lot of God and politics and a lot of different things were all in that 10-minute rant. And we talked a little bit more about those things. But to love God, it's a fantastic concept, and I think we're all in agreement that it's important and it is a core value. It is part of the mission of this church, but not just any kind of love and not just any old God, right? So we gotta work a little bit at what we mean when we say that loving God is our mission and is central to who we are. And so that's why we're working on defining these terms, because as you'll see, be the church, that could mean a whole lot of different things too. And bless the world can mean a whole lot of different things too. So that's what we're going to be spending the next few weeks unpacking. How we take a very concise and pithy mission and turn it into a vision that is compelling and specific and gives us some guidance as to what that might look like as we pursue it for the years to come. So today we begin with loving God. And as you have on the little yellow sheet in your bulletins today, we see love God. To love God is to have, and I realize I used a passive verb there, so I'm changing that to for. To love God is for our whole being, heart, soul, mind, and strength, Matthew 22:37, called and brought into loving communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, John 17:21. This vision of loving God looks like our congregation engaged with Scripture, growing in loving relationship with Jesus, and listening and responding to the Holy Spirit's voice in every gathering and interaction. All right. That is the statement of vision, and that is what we will spend the next several minutes unpacking. So, to love God is to have our whole being, heart, soul, mind, and strength brought into loving communion with all of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, to love God begins with Jesus' command to us. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. So it's about our whole being. We love God with our heart, we love God with our soul, we love God with our mind, and we love God with our strength. So, how do we love with our hearts? Right, this is where we get at our emotions and our affections, right? I love Marcy. I love my children. I do love the Cubs. That's nothing to sniff at. But to love, it is a feeling, it is something you get wrapped up in, right? To love God with our heart, it is something where we have genuine positive feelings about God, right? When we experience certain things about God that really just delight us, that's loving God with our heart. When we get to love God with our heart, we get to, our emotions and our affections are engaged. Loving God with our heart is easy when we are in ourselves in a good place. Loving God with our heart can be difficult when our heart is cold, right? And when we've been through some really tough things recently, it can be really hard to love God with our heart because we don't feel like we have much heart to give. So there's a challenge there, but that's part of our call, right? To love God with all of our heart. And we understand, of course, emotions are fleeting. We're not going to feel love for God constantly, just like you don't feel head over heels in love with your spouse every single moment of every single day. That doesn't mean you don't love them. That doesn't mean love is on pause. It just means you got to rely on the other three aspects of love to keep you in line for a little while, right? Our soul. Now, our soul, we think of, modern dualistic think. Well, yeah, modern, old, a very old dualistic thinking. We think of our soul and our body as like these two separate things. And to love God with our soul is to love God with the eternal part of ourselves. There's a little bit of truth to that, but I mean, to love God with our soul is to love God with like our guts. It's to love God with our very essence as a person. To love God the way that He created me uniquely to be. Right? So, Sig and I have a lot in common because we're both human beings. We both have Swedish-American ancestry, right? But there's a limit to how much we have in common. We have a different soul about us, right? We have, there's a uniqueness to each of our personalities. So we love God with the unique way that He has created us. We love God with our guts. We love God with our very being. our mind. Now, it's easy to think that loving God with our mind means sitting around thinking about God all the time. And that's a great way to love God. But God has given us a mind for more than just thinking about Him all the time, because we can't always be thinking about God consciously in our minds, because we have jobs to do, and not all of our jobs are explicitly connected to thinking about God. Now, I just so happen to be in the field where I can think about God all the time, and I'm actually doing my job. Sorry if you're jealous about that. But but using the mind that God gave us, being a good steward of the mind that God gave us, is a part of loving God with our minds. J.P. Moreland, a great Christian theologian, wrote a book many years ago that many of my college professors would recommend to me, because it was called Love the Lord Your God with All Your Mind. And it was all about being a good student and reading and expanding your mind and all these things as a way of loving God. And of course, that can be taken too far, right? For those of us who are like avid readers and who just want to just keep expanding our mind, we can say, well, I'm loving God all the time. I read the whole Harry Potter series last week. I mean, I was just loving God with my mind so hard. It was amazing. And, you know, there's times and places for that, of course. But we have to understand that sometimes all of our love cannot live in our mind. All of our love cannot live in our mind. And our strength. Now, it's to love God with all of our strength. It doesn't mean you have to be like, you know, the image there is, of course, a strong arm. And if you feel like you don't have very strong arms, don't feel like you're left out of this. This is about loving God with all of our energy, right? All of our, the Greek word for strength is dunamis, which is where we get our English word dynamite, right? So we think of dynamite, potential energy, like loving God with all of our animating power, all that lives within us, all of our strength, to love God with that. That's a powerful thing. So when every fiber of our being that is calling energy forward is focused on loving God, that is how we love God, with all of our strength. So we want our whole being to love God. Our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. There's nothing that's excluded from loving God. And strength, I think, would also include loving God with our bodies. Like the way we care for, the way we steward the bodies God has given us is also part of, you know, we can love God with that as well. So it's about our whole being brought into loving communion love. It's not just something that we do once and it's there. It's like, I love you, and then you say it again tomorrow morning, I love you. I love you, God. I love you, God. Love has teeth. And to be in loving communion with God is a moment-to-moment relationship. Right? Being in loving communion with God is something that is happening now. It's happening now. It's happening now. It's still happening now. It's something that is constant. Being in loving communion is a state of being with God. Right? So it's not just saying, oh, I've loved God and I've done my job for the day, and now I can check that box and say, I'll go on to being the church now. Or I'll go on to blessing the world. Loving God is something that we carry with us all the time, because we are living in loving communion with God. Of course, we use the word communion to talk about the meal we share at the table. And that's about our communion with God and with each other. But being in loving communion with God, that's a pretty powerful thing. And so we need to talk about God. God exists in three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? It's important to us that when we talk about loving God, it's not, I love God the Father, but I could care less about Jesus, right? It's not, that I love Jesus, but that Holy Spirit freaks me out, so I'm not going to love him. It's important that what we believe about God and the God that we love and interact with is the God of the Bible. And the God of Scripture exists in all three persons. And of course, the word Trinity is not in the Bible anywhere, but we see God active in all these forms. We see God the Father showing mercy, yes, showing some judgment, but creating. We see the Father as a loving and benevolent shepherd. Then we see Jesus. Of course, Jesus is easy for us to love most days because we're just saying thank you constantly for the work that he did for us on the cross. And the Holy Spirit's a little harder to love because it's like, what is it? What is going on? What is this Spirit? I can't pin it down. It's like nailing Jell-O to the wall, trying to figure out what the Holy Spirit is and does. So just like the whole parts of us are a little bit indivisible, like I can't just love God with my heart exclusively and not at all with my soul or mind or strength, it's really hard to just love one person of God. It's all of us in loving communion with all of God. Of course, I'm tempted to break into that John Legend song. All of me loves all of you. You guys know that one? No? Okay. All right, a few of you do. Oh, yeah. My pop culture references are sometimes a little too futuristic for this crowd sometimes. What do you think? Oh, dear. Oh. So it is all of us being in loving communion with all of God. That is sort of how we can define what it means to love God. That gives us like some good parameters. It gives us like a center to strike with. It's a little bit more specific than just love God. Are we okay with that? Are we tracking with that? Okay. All right, I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on to what it will look like for us to do this. And I got three pieces to this equation. We'll be engaged with Scripture, growing in loving relationship with Jesus, and listening and responding to the Spirit's voice in every gathering and interaction. I'm trying to make this as visual as possible for those of you who are visual learners. So we had some visuals in the first section. Here we got some visuals again. Being engaged with Scripture, that is just so central to us. The centrality of the Word of God is important. We can disagree about maybe how we read certain passages in Scripture, but the fact that it is central is so key because it is our guidelines. It is where we learn about God. It is where God speaks to us so intimately. We need to be engaged with Scripture in order to love God. We need to be growing in loving relationship with Jesus. Having a relationship with Jesus, I think, is language that may be a little bit newer. Often we talked about, coming to Jesus, being converted to Jesus, but coming into a personal relationship with Jesus is language that's maybe come over the last few decades, increased in popularity. There is a journey that we are all on. None of us come to Jesus and are fixed completely, and then life is like peachy keen. I once was lost, and now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. We got to figure out how to use those eyes, right? You say, I was once blind, but now I see, but like learning how to see well, it takes some time. There's some work there. So God does this amazing work in us, but the process of growing in relationship with Christ, well, that's an ongoing thing. And nobody here, no matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, even if you've been walking with Jesus for 80 years, you still have opportunity for growth. Would you guys say that, those of you who've been walking with Jesus for a long time, longer than me? Yes. Yes. And listening and responding to the Spirit's voice in every gathering and interaction. It's one thing to listen to the Spirit's voice, to feel a sense that he's calling us to do something. But then to respond, well, that's the next step. Say, oh, I have a sense that God wants me to do this, and I'm sure I'll get around to it someday. Right? I have a sense that God's calling me to do this, but I know that now is not the time. And sometimes now isn't the time, but sometimes we put off the time infinitely because it's never the time, because we never have enough time, we never have enough energy, we never have enough daycare, we never have enough. There's so many obstacles that get in the way for us responding to the Spirit's voice. So every time we gather, we say we're a church that loves God. Every time we gather, so here on a Sunday morning, I hope that we're hearing the Holy Spirit's voice and responding to it. And sometimes the response happens here in the service. Sometimes the response happens as we go out into the world and live out this stuff and figure out what it means for each of us to love God. So those are the three things. Those are the three things, part of our vision for loving God, that we feel like if we do these things really well and continue to do better and better and better at these things, well, then we'll be loving God much better. We'll be living into the vision that God has called us to. They sound simple, right? They're fairly simple things, engaging with Scripture, growing in relationship with Jesus, listening and responding to the Spirit. But doing them, that's not easy. It's not simple. So I understand if you want to be alone for this exercise, that's totally fine. But if you would like to, grab a neighbor or two neighbors and just talk through these three questions. If you'd really prefer to do it by yourself, just, you know, take a pencil or a pen and write down some things. But I want you to think through these questions just for a few minutes. How can I be more engaged with Scripture? And how can we do it together as a church? How can I cultivate growth in my life with Jesus? And how can we do it together as a church? And what's one way I can listen better? And this is to the Holy Spirit. And what's one way I can respond more faithfully to the Holy Spirit? So take a few minutes, talk amongst yourselves. If it's just pairs, groups of three, groups of four, no more than four, please. No less than one. And just take a few. You got it. Take a few minutes to think about these questions, and then we'll regather in just a moment. So, have at it, please.